Got sound? Check, check. Cool. I believe next week we got an exam, huh? I believe we do. I believe we do. Our first exam is going to be on chapters 2 and 3. All right, so it'd be 2 and 3. So that's where all of our statements and questions will come from. Statements, really, will come from in chapters 2 and 3. All right. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. We've been talking the last few times we're together. About how one of the emphasis we've been making is how our spirit is already perfect and how our soul is what needs to be worked on. The Bible, whole purpose of the Bible is to train our thought process so that God can use us. That's the purpose of the Bible, to train our thought process so God can use us. There's no other purpose for the Bible. Train our thought process so God can use us. If our thought process is not trained, you will never have access to revelation knowledge. If your thought process is not trained to think like God thinks, you will never get revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is how the church is going to be built, not off biblical knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Matter of fact, turn to Matthew 16 chapter. I'll prove it to you. And come back to, we'll come back to 2 Corinthians. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16 chapter, verse 17, verse 16. You notice Jesus talking to his disciples, and he asked them, who do men say that I am? You know, then they answered, some say Isaiah, some say Elijah. But then he says, who do you say that I am? Or verse 15, whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that's important. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 17, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Change his name because of the change of his thought process. Upon this rock, or upon this process, is how I will build my church. So the church is going to be built off of revelation knowledge or revealed knowledge from God. Build means, that word build means to progress, to expand, to move forward. So the church is going to expand and move forward based on what God is saying in the present moment. That's revelation knowledge. Or another word you can use is based on rhema. What God is saying. But you can't ever get the revelation knowledge if your thought process is not corrected first. Satan's whole objective, now you can turn to 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter. Satan, listen to me, Satan's whole objective is to screw up your thinking. So that you can't access revelation knowledge. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, you see that? The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan's objective is to corrupt our thinking. When I mean corrupt, not necessarily with just deviant thoughts, but just getting us to think improperly. We think improperly, that means we no longer have access to revelation knowledge. So this is the purpose of the Word of God. This is why Romans 12, 2, I know I'm going over it again, but I want you to see it because I want this to make sense to you. Because I need you to understand that reading the Word of God should not just be a duty. If you watch this, the Word of God says that the traditions of men has made the Word of God of none effect, right? Remember what anybody remember the definition of tradition? If you don't, I'm going to tell it to you. Anybody remember? Because we talked about it last year, the tradition of men. Tradition is repetitively doing an act and forgetting the reason why you're doing it. That's a tradition. A tradition is repetitively doing something and forgetting why you're doing it. Because if you remembered why you're doing it, you'll get something out of every time you do it. So if you're doing something, you ain't getting nothing out of it. It's because you forgot why you was doing it. Romans 12. Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember we talked about this. So that ye may be able to prove. Prove means to recognize. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? So remember now, the church is going to be built off of revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge has to be discovered. It's not something that just on surface, it has to be discovered. So a revelation knowledge has to be discovered. That means some digging has to take place. So if digging has to take place, that means I got to make sure I'm digging right. So that means my thought process can't be jacked up thinking I'm going to hear from God. So what Satan does, he ain't trying to stop you from getting revelation knowledge. He just jacks your thinking up. So if he can jack your thinking up, he know you're not going to get revelation. So that's why he comes with lies. That's why he wants you to look at the outside and pay attention to what's on the outside rather than what's on the inside. Because things change from the inside out. Hebrews 11, and I think it was 3, it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that appear things that are seen are not made by things which appear. All that's simply saying is, whatever you see came from an unseen world. Right? So Satan wants to attack what's unseen to try to control what we produce in the scene. So, and the same thing with God. God gives us the unseen revelation knowledge that we can walk out. When we walk it out, it produces certain results. The word of God will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish what he sent it out to do. So, if Satan can cause you to think improperly, then he can block you from getting revelation knowledge. If he can block you from getting revelation knowledge, he can block you from executing what God wants done in the earth realm. Then he can stop the will of God in the earth realm. Because remember now, Romans 12 and 2, we just read it. It says, be not conformed to the world, but ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Why? So that you can prove or recognize that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. I can find out what God wants to do. I can find out how he wants to operate by having a renewed mind. By having a mind that's constantly being shaped by the word of God. John 10. Go there. This scripture, Romans 12 and 2, will teach you more about hearing God than any other scripture. Because John 10 teaches us how we hear the voice of God. John 10 would teach us, I think it's John 10:27, I think it is. Did I call the right scripture? My sheep? Yes. I did? Yes. John 10:27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Those that follow me, my disciples that follow me, hear my voice. Other words, when a shepherd, I know I told this before, but I want you to connect this to hearing revelation from God and connect it to Romans 12:2. When a shepherd usually sleeps with his sheep, that's what it did back in the day when they heard they would, when they first created a herd of sheep, he would stay with the sheep 24/7, constantly talking to the sheep, giving them direction, giving them orders, herding them. Why? So the sheep can learn their voice. Another passage in the gospel says, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Why? Because they've been around my voice. So when you want to, if you want to learn to hear the voice of God, then you're going to have to renew your mind with the word of God. You got to spend time with the word of God so that you can recognize, prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that means you can be in the midst of a bunch of voices. What I mean by the bunch of voices, the voice of your feeling, the voice of your memory, the voice of your intellect. But if your mind is renewed with the word of God, all those voices can be speaking, not including other people talking to you, your situation talking to you, your fig trees that ain't growing no fruit talking to you. And amongst all those voices, you will be able to hear what God wants you to hear so you can do what he's asking you to do. Is that making sense? So without having my mind or my soul renewed or properly connected or properly operating, then it's going to be hard for me to get revelation knowledge. Because without thinking straight, thinking according to the word of God, then I won't be able to access revelation knowledge. How many get that? And revelation knowledge is how God is going to build the church. Over revealed knowledge. Not Bible knowledge. So let's get that straight. Because Bible knowledge, watch this. Bible knowledge is for reference. Bible knowledge is for reference for us to learn how to shape our thinking. Bible knowledge ain't gonna cause deliverance. Revelation is. Bible knowledge is not gonna cause for you to overcome. Revelation is. You want me to prove it to you? What Bible Abraham had? But he did have the voice of God. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have life, but they really try to point you to me. But you won't come to me. So the scriptures are references to get us somewhere, to shape our thinking, so that God can speak to us. So this is why our spirit is already ready to go. Already ready to move. But it's that doggone mind. And I love what the Apostle Paul said in Romans. He said, you have to renew your mind. Renew it. It's a constant thing. It's constant. It's not something, you know, you got people the people that knew the law, they know the law. Pharisees know the law. The Pharisees knew the law, but they couldn't see revelation in front of them because their thinking wasn't straight. Revelation was walking right in front of them. Jesus was right there in the flesh. Revelation in the flesh, they couldn't recognize it because their thinking wasn't straight. So, do we know the five basic areas of the soul? Because all these are going to have voices. And if none of them, if the word of God is not accessed to any of them, any of these, then that particular one is going to be saying stuff opposite of the word. The five areas of the soul is your emotions, your intellect or your reasoning, your memory, your imagination, and the will. Now, this is five distinct areas that you're going to have to take the word of God and guard it with. Guard them. And guard, you're going to have to take the word of God and guard these five distinctive areas. Because Satan has five entryways. That's five entryways he has to get to you. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I want to make sure, do y'all understand that what I just said about the church is built by revelation knowledge? You cannot access revelation knowledge if your soul ain't clear. So the purpose of the Bible is to clear your soul, get your thinking straight, so that you can access revelation knowledge. Because it's not going to be biblical knowledge that causes progress in your life. It's going to be revelation knowledge. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Word that translated is rhema. Rhema meaning live spoken word. Other words, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by revelation knowledge. So even my assignment and what I'm supposed to be doing, if I don't have a clear thought process, I'm not even going to be able to operate properly in faith. Because faith operates by what God is saying, not what God has said. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So our weapons are not dealing in the flesh. Verse 5. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In your mind is where Satan tries to plant his strongholds. Certain addictions come from allowing Satan access to the mind long enough without the word of God being there. That's where addictions come from. Satan creates strongholds. He creates strongholds. And if you don't have anything to uproot that stronghold, it's going to affect how you affect your emotions, affect your intellect, affect your will, affect everything. So that's why Satan focuses on the mind so much. That's why when he dealt with Adam and Eve, he began to talk to them. He didn't come and zap them with nothing. He didn't come and just wave his hand and put disease on him. He didn't do none of that. He just simply talked. Why? Because if he can get here, he can affect everything else. This is why God is saying, if I can get here, I can affect everything else. If I can get here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How many of y'all getting this? Let's deal with the first one, emotions. Now, emotions are our fuel for action. See, God gave us every aspect of our mind. God gave us every aspect of all five of them, and all five, when properly used, can be used for his benefit. Emotions are our fuel for actions. Now watch this. Our emotions are the biggest part of our soul. It's not because it's the most developed or even the strongest, but because they are the most vocal part of the human soul, our emotions. They have the ability to override the rest of the elements of our soul. Is that not true? Oh, that's why the Bible says, be ye angry, sin not. That's why he say, in your patience, possess ye your soul. Oh, let somebody get you angry. You can't what? Think. Somebody get you mad, you can't think straight. Somebody get you sad, you ain't thinking straight. Somebody else, you ain't thinking straight. Boy, the emotions start coming out. Have you acting all kinds of ways. Our emotions are fuel for action, but when they are used in a godly way, they will express how God feels about something. Let's just use Jesus as an example of using emotion. Jesus was going into the temple. He was walking in the temple and saw they were selling stuff, doing all sorts of reasonable stuff. Jesus just sat on the side, just sit down, watch them for a few minutes. Just looking around. Made him a whip. This is our Savior. This is our Savior. Made a whip. And just thought and just went berserk in the place. Just whip them all out. Get out. You're not gonna make this my house a house of prayer, a den of thieves. Now this is the man who never sinned. So obviously that action wasn't sin. So that must have been the proper emotion God wanted to reveal. You're not, and watch this. It's because he probably had warned them already. You're not going to make my house a den of thieves. So think about this. What if Jesus would have saw that? All the people around lives are not being changed because the purpose of that particular temple, that church had changed. It was no longer about the people, about what they can sell. Suppose the head of the church is coming in and just, would you please, this is not what God wants. I know God have talked to you already. I know y'all hadn't listened. Would you please stop selling? This is supposed to be a house of prayer. People, we're supposed to be helping the people. Would you please? They wouldn't have did nothing but looked at Jesus and probably tried to whip him out. So Jesus said, okay, this, y'all ain't heard his first warning? Okay. He sat down, watched him, and made a whip. And with the cacao. Oh, y'all get out of here. And let the real people of God come here, supposed to come in here. That was a proper use of emotions. Emotions are our fuel. Emotions, watch this. Emotions gives you the energy to walk out what God has called you to do. That's why the Bible says you have to encourage. You encourage yourself because you're creating an emotion of, we're going to get this done. We're going to obey God. So, an emotion, watch this. You're not going to do nothing that you don't have conviction about. Your conviction is part of your emotions. You're not going to do nothing that you're not convinced about. If you ain't sure about it, you ain't going to do it. It's like walking across a pond that's iced over. I don't know how thick this ice is. I tell you, you're not going to do anything you're convinced of. I'll never forget, I was in Hawaii about 15 years ago in Hawaii. And now, in Hawaii, there are no snakes. All right? There are no snakes in Hawaii. None. All right? So we going off sightseeing, my parents and Chantel and Sean and Montreal, and we going sightseeing. And so we going to these mountains. Beautiful scenery. So we got to a point, was going up a mountain, up a side of a mountain, and it came out to a little plateau. And it had a waterfall coming down and it had a body of water. And so we got out the car to go see it and had some some other people that were sitting there looking at it. And the guys say, man, the water feels good. It's beautiful, man. Man, jump in. So now I already know that there ain't no snakes in Hawaii, right? But I just seen Anaconda. I just seen Anaconda. Right? I said, now, I'm talking about emotion, I'm talking about conviction. You're not going to do nothing you ain't convinced about. I said, I just seen the movie Anaconda. And it just so happened that this particular scenery that we looking at looks straight out, like it comes straight out of Anaconda. The dude say, dude was like, now I know they ain't got no snakes in Hawaii. He say, man, why don't you go ahead and jump in? I said, nah, man, you jump in first. No, you jump in. You jump in first, then I'll jump in. And so it just so happened, he like, oh, no problem. I didn't know he had been in already. So he jumped in, and once I seen him jump in and come out fine, I said, okay, cool, ain't nothing in here. I can jump in too. See, I was convinced that it was okay to jump in, but before, I wasn't too sure. So guess what? I wasn't doing it. So this is why you have to understand to channel your emotions, because if your emotions not are properly channeled, you're not even going to obey God. If your emotions are not put in check, then you're going to have an emotion called fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Faith causes you to act. Fear causes you to be inactive. Are you seeing this? So this is why when you take the word of God and begin to check your emotions, you stay with God long enough, you can begin to feel like God feels about situations. You begin to be energized like God is energized about. You watch this, you stay with the word of God long enough, you can become thirsty. That's an emotion for righteousness. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You come, thirst and hunger is talking about your emotion. You're talking about your love for what doing what God wants you to do. Because God has emotions, and when they are released in us in a proper way, perfectly aligned with God's thoughts and feelings, our emotions can be very effective. When Jesus went to the temple, the emotions were the thing that helped him be effective. It was the emotions, because they knew when Jesus finished that he was not playing. This is going to be a house of God, not a den of thieves. God's emotions, another time God properly uses emotions. You remember when Miriam wanted to call Moses on the carpet? Man, This to me, this is amazing. This is why, one of the reasons I will never violate apostolic order. Never. I will just keep my mouth shut and walk away. I ain't never trying to challenge apostolic authority. Because watch this. God, when that happened, God told Moses, Moses, I want you to get Miriam and Aaron and meet me at the temple. So God, Moses had to go get Miriam and meet him at the temple. Now, you got to understand how significant this is. Listen to me. This is how significant this was. This God using his emotions. God never left the holies of holies. God never come. We talking about the. He never left. He never come out. They had to go in to atone for the sins. God never came out. But in this particular instance, God said, I'm going to meet them at the door of the tabernacle. God was that serious about what Miriam was doing to Moses. When she tried to defy Moses and say, you know, who you think you are? And God said, no, meet me at the door. He said, God met. You know, God had to be angry, because when he said it, he wasn't playing. He said, with you, I'm going to speak to you in dreams and prophecy. But with Moses, I'm going to speak to him face to face, mouth to mouth. So how I know his emotions. Miriam, you're going to have leprosy. Go on somewhere. Now, I don't think God said, Miriam. Oh, Miriam, I'm now going to have to put leprosy on you. No, I had to be met with emotions, so that everybody can understand what God was trying to convey. Why? So nobody else won't try. You know, so nobody else won't try this. See, let me give you a quick lesson. Let me give you a quick, you'll learn this in spiritual authority. If you ever have any questions about any apostolic authority, don't do it in public. Don't do it in public. Please don't. If you got to understand, you got questions, don't do it in public. Because when you do it in public, you're going to be corrected in public. Don't do it in public because you're going to be corrected in public. Why? It's because if it was done in public, other people saw. So other people who saw that might have the ankle to try that themselves. I promise you, after Jesus did that in the temple, ain't nobody else tried to come say nothing in the temple. You ain't never heard nobody else speaking against Moses again. You ain't never heard. That's why I know Miriam must have did it in the public, because God did it in public. You never heard anybody talking against Moses again. So look, don't try to do it in public, because if you do it in public, you're going to get corrected in public. And they have a right to do it, because if you big and bad enough to try to challenge it in public, then you got to be big and bad to take the correction in public. Is that making sense? So you have to learn how to control your emotions. You learn how to channel your emotions the way God wants you to channel them. They're powerful. They're useful when properly used. It's far more popular to see emotions used in an ungodly way. You don't want your emotions to put you on a roller coaster ride. You're high some days, you're low some days. The day I feel good, tomorrow I feel bad. Some days I feel all right. That's why you have to take the word of God that's supposed to shape your thinking to shape your emotions. So now watch this. If you wake up and you ain't feeling your best, you just one of them in blue funk moods, you got to take the word of God and encourage yourself. You have to take the word of God and begin to speak to yourself. Because if you're feeling that way, it's because you think in a certain way. If you think in a certain way, you're going to feel a certain way. When you feel a certain way, you're going to act a certain way. So if you're feeling blue funk, your action is going to be blue funk. I don't want my action to be blue funk. So I got to change what I'm thinking. So I take the word of God to control my emotions. Is that making sense? Your mouth is going to be the most powerful tool in controlling your emotions. Your mouth and what comes out of your mouth. When you begin to speak to yourself aloud, you catch your attention. That's why it's sometimes good to read the Bible aloud. That's why it's good sometimes to have the Bible read to you and you follow. That's what I do. I have the Bible on CD or Bible on MP3 now. And I put it on, and when you're reading, I'm following. Because hearing the word of God read to you and reading at the same time calls you to retain. It's shaping your thought. It's shaping how you feel. On our jobs, if we don't put our emotions in check, the very place God has placed us will become boring to us. When the pastor started talking about the soul, I begin to understand that you can feel and you can think any way you want to think. If that's the case, you can change it. So if you don't like your job, it's because of you. If you don't like it, it's because of you. I ain't saying you got to be satisfied with it. But ain't no sense you being miserable where you at. If you don't like it, it's up to you to change your thought process. Once you change your thought process, everything on the outside will change. The people will change. The atmosphere will change. Everything will change. Because a lot of times, our world is controlled by our perception. 9 times out of 10, that ain't really how it is. It's just how we see it. So if we change what we see, if we call those things that be not as though they were, what that's really doing is change your thought process. It's changing how you feel. When you change that, your actions change. When your actions change, your results change. Is that, I know it's kind of, we've been so long not properly using our souls that we make statements like that. It's kind of like, what? You mean to tell me all these times I've been hating my job is me? Yes. All right, who took the job? Ain't nobody forced you to take the job. You took the job. So obviously is your thought, even if you took the job and say, I really don't want this job. Well, why you took it? Why you did it? So is you making yourself miserable where you are? That's your emotions. You got control over them. In our relationships, if there's an emotional hurt, or no longer the thrill of excitement, discovery, or romance, commitment is broken, and immediately we start looking for someone else more entertaining and confronting any more options because of not controlling your emotions. See, you can't be moved by how you feel. You can't be, because your feelings are fickle. Your feelings are coming from what you think. So if your feelings are fickle, you got to go back to what you're thinking. Is this making sense? See, you can't let, you can, no matter whatever type of relationship, mother, father, husband, wife, whatever relationship you're in, you can't allow emotional hurt to govern how you behave. You have to take the word of God to help heal those emotions. Don't look for the, please, 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 don't look for the person to heal them. They can't heal what they destroyed. You have to take the word of God to heal that emotion. When you take the word of God and let that word of God heal that emotion, then you are, you're no longer bound by the actions of that person. So even when that person, you see that person, they can't make you angry. They can't get you to act outside of who God called you to be. Like Goliath intimidated the whole army of Israel, so his emotional control will seek to bind us to a false sense of reality of who we are and what we can do. We just talked about that. You making yourself miserable where God opened doors for you to be. Oh, man, I don't like my neighborhood. Well, who? I don't like my apartment. I hate my apartment. Well, I guess you can get bad vibes in your apartment. You hate it. Oh, I hate my car. I don't like my car. Well, I guess it ain't gonna run for you. It feels you don't like it. I'm serious. This is serious. Your thought process controls your world. Your thought process controls your world. So if you don't let the word of God keep your emotions in check, your emotions are going to control your world. You know, I'm going to say this. Boy, Race consciousness has got us sometimes seeing racism or racism don't exist. Sometimes it has us looking and figuring. Now, somebody of your same race could have done something to you. You ain't like it. You ain't gonna say nothing. Now, somebody that ain't the same race do the same thing, oh, they don't like black people. Well, it could be the fact they just don't like you. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? So a lot of times our emotions expose things that would have never been exposed and allow it to affect us when it never would affect us if we hadn't been conscious. So if I don't go, if like when I walk into a place, I have literally no race consciousness whatsoever. Listen, if you can't tell, I'm a black man. And so my youngest daughter plays fast pitch softball. Let me tell you this, fast pitch softball, let me just put it like this. It ain't many of us out there. So most of the time I'm around people that's not of the same skin color that I am. Right? But I go out there, have no race consciousness whatsoever. None. Why? Because I know who I am. So it doesn't matter how you act toward me, you still ain't changing who I am. Does that mean I negate what has happened in the past? No. That just means that the prices that my forefather paid in the past have put me in a position to feel like this. What's the use in them fighting for something if I don't become better? So at some point, I have to rise above the nonsense. So now because I don't have any race consciousness, a lot of times I'll see them getting mad at each other and won't fool with me. Why? Because I know who I am. It doesn't matter how you treat me, I'm not going to act a fool with you. You're going to be the fool. So you can't change how I view myself. Because I'm not coming out there, watch this. I'm not going out there as a black man. I'm going out there as a man. Story one time, we was on the RV, talking about race consciousness. We're going in the RV and a guy, white guy, nice guy, real nice guy. It's just sometimes they have lingo and they don't know, they don't understand. So we was talking and my dad was showing him, he wanted to see apostles, how he get his golf cart in back of his pickup truck. And he has a winch in back of it. And the guy has the same type truck and he has a golf cart. So he seen us unloading and loading. So he wanted to see it. So man, he come up, very nice guy, coming up talking and was asking this stuff. And he said, what you do for a living, sir? And I said, I've been pastor of the church for 44 years. And it's my son. He helps me in the ministry. We preach the gospel all over the country and whatnot. And the guy was talking. He said, yeah, man. He said, man, I had some colored friends that were very religious. So daddy said, what color were they? What color were they? And the guy got. Apostle's perception of color was red, blue, green, turquoise, fuchsia, green. So what color were they? So what my point is, your thoughts control your world. Didn't get offended. Just like he literally say, well, what color were they? Because you got tan people. You got red people. You got yellow people. You get what I'm saying? And so we went on and carried the conversation, and it wasn't, nobody got angry. He didn't get angry. I didn't get angry. Because was he your color? What color? Are you seeing what I'm saying about your thoughts? Yeah. control your world. Your thoughts control your emotions. And see, a lot of times people try to bait you in to acting a certain way. If they can control your thoughts, they can control how you behave. So a lot of times people have who are race conscious, they're going to see racism and they're going to be affected everywhere they go. You could be in a room full of black people. And if you're race conscious, it's going to be some racist about that. Because it's just race conscious. Or your control, your thoughts control. Am I saying it does that in certain situations, racism does exist? That's not what I'm saying. Because it does. But you can't control how they feel or how they behave. But you can control how you feel and how you behave. Even if they try to call you out your name, if you respond, then that's who they say you are. You know they're trying to be ugly. But if you respond, you just took on that moniker. You took on that name and you've taken on all that goes with it. And they don't care if you knock them out. When they get up off the ground, they know you answer to it. Your thoughts control your world. Your thoughts controls your emotions. Your emotions are a powerful, powerful aspect of your soul. But you have to keep them in check. You have to take the word of God and keep it in check. Jesus said, be angry and sin not. And your patience possess your soul. Because if you don't properly channel your emotions will cause you to miss out on what God wants you to do. Your emotions will cause you to miss out on what God is moving. In certain cases, even if your leader says something and you get angry and don't like it, tuck it in. Tuck it in for a moment. In your patience, possess your soul. Go back and sit on it a while and say, God, what's up with this? Why am I feeling like this? Because it got to be a thought that's caused you to feel that way. So let's find out what it is. God, you judge this. Is that making sense? Because see, your emotions, I've seen a lot of people, as the old adage say, write a check that they behind can't cash because of emotions. You know that statement. Hey, talk big talk and then don't nothing come out of it because their emotions got them over there talking. But if you properly channel your emotions, we've seen two examples. Jesus properly channeling his emotions in the temple, whooping out those who trying to make it a den of thieves. We've seen God properly operate in his emotions when he dealt with Miriam. Learn how to properly channel your emotions. When you properly channel your emotions, then you just harnessed the energy and the energy and the conviction to do what God is asking you to do. Because you have to have emotions not to do some things. Sometimes you have to have courage to say no. Sometimes you have to let the anger of God rise in you and say, no, this is not going to happen. No, this is not going down like this. But if you don't know how to channel your emotions, they'll be going haywire. All right, next week we have our exams on chapter what? 2 and 3, all right. Everybody know how to pass my exam? Y'all remember? You remember how to pass my exam? Who could tell me how to pass my exam? What you got to do? Anybody know what you got to do? All right, read the book. All right, what else you got to do? Print it out. Read. And it's going to jump out at you. All right. Now, I told the first year students this, and I know it's going to happen. Somebody going to try. Somebody going to try to do it without, they just gaze at the book and write the wrong answer down and miss it. But because y'all are second students, I shouldn't expect that from y'all, right? All right. All right. Y'all have a good night.